Beloved, the word of the Lord is open this afternoon to the first epistle of Timothy, chapter 2. First Timothy chapter 2. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time. Whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle, I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. In like manner also, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. Let the woman learn in silence with all subjection, but I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. For Adam was first formed, than Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing, if they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety. I've read the entire chapter. The Apostle Paul wrote this letter, this first epistle to Timothy, to instruct and guide him in the ordering of the church and what was supposed to take place. And he exhorts here, I exhort therefore that first of all, the first thing that he exhorted, the first thing that he directed, the first thing that should be done, even as we do when we come together to worship the Lord, as we bow our heads and we pray. And it just is a reflection of the real situation that we find ourselves in. We are, as we were reminded this morning, just made of the dust of the earth. And it's God who provides for all of our needs. Even as we come before the Word, we're reminded of our unworthiness to take and to speak, to listen to this powerful word that brought all of the worlds into being in such a short span of time. That powerful word that was able to make all those stars that we heard of this morning. What are they able to do? In the natural world, we see. And taking even the insignificant dust of the earth and making our bodies, which are so complex and interrelated in all of their functions and systems. But what could a word of God do for the inner man? What can it do for that which is not seen? What can it do for our souls? What can a few words of God do for the lost and the one that's straying? They can call him back home. They can relieve that burden of guilt and sin. And the promise that we find of Jesus Christ and his sacrifice for us. That you would know and be assured of God's love and his care for you. What would a few words of God do if they were embraced in faith? And so we need God's word, and we need what he is supplying. We need to remember that relationship that we have with the Lord, that we are just branches. On our own, we dry up and we shrivel up, and we need to be connected to the vine. Jesus Christ, the vine of our salvation, the one through whom we find our strength and our sustenance and nourishment, the one who is that bread of life, the one from which we find the living waters, those cool and clean and refreshing water for our soul. We come to him, and first of all, before we bring a gift, before we sing a song, we bow our head and we pray because we're in need. Jesus taught us that the man that comes to his house and truly sees his need, he will go away blessed. He will go away justified. He will go away filled with everything that he needs, and he will lack nothing for his soul. So Paul repeats and exhorts, first of all, bring your supplications. What do you need God to supply? What do you need him to provide? What do you need him to give? Oh, not much. No. Everything. We call upon him for everything that we need. Even the air that we breathe, the heartbeats that we experience that sustain us, he supplies it all. There are things that we can ask for. And there are things that we say we need. And we often ask for those things. And they're often physical. They're often related to our health. They're often related to our comforts. The sort of things that we think make for a quiet and peaceable life. But is that the case? Is that what we really need? Is that what we really need God to supply? Jesus teaches us that God knows what we need and is able to provide. And those who ask for the Holy Spirit, God will provide. How many times have we prayed and asked for the Holy Spirit first to supply our every need? The order of the church is to have a certain effect and makes an impact on us and how we do things. If we do not start with humility, we will not end with grace and salvation. If we do not start with humble petition and asking, it will be a mere show. And so we ask for all things that God would supply for our needs. We pray. We bring our prayers before God. Think of the prayers in the Old Testament. Think of Abel and his sacrifice that was well-pleasing, that he brought in faith. The prayer must be made in faith, asking without doubting of the Lord that he is able to do abundantly more than we ask or imagine. The prayer of Moses when he was praying for the children of Israel as they were battling, and his arms were weakened because he was praying with patience. Even as we heard this morning, the importance of patience. Spiritual exercise. We read about the prayers of David and Daniel that prepared Daniel for the lion's den. As we think about these prayers, we think of the power that the Lord was able to bring about and bring to bear upon the situations that they would face. We don't know. We don't know what's coming this week. We heard just a week or so ago about when they say peace and safety. When they say peace and safety. Who wants to open the news and see a headline? Peace! Everybody agrees. Everything's fine. Would that make your life quiet and peaceable? I don't know. Sudden destruction comes on those that look for peace and safety in this world. Daniel wasn't looking for a comfortable position in the government. He made his prayer known to the Lord, and that prepared him for that lion's den. What are our prayers preparing us for? The Lord knows, and the Lord can provide all that we need. And we must pray in faith that he will do even more than we ask or think. And intercessions, when we pray on the behalf of others, when we pray for the needs that other people experience, when we pray for the lost, when we pray for those that are in need of salvation, when we pray for those that serve, we uphold and we express love. And we make an investment. We take some of our time that we could have used for ourselves, and we earnestly desire of the Lord to provide for them instead. It builds up within us an attitude of love and care for one another when we spend time in prayer, thinking about each other's needs, thinking about how the hardships of life and the challenge, the perhaps spiritual challenges that are being faced, must be such a great burden. But then we're reminded that the Lord can provide. And as we pray for others and the difficulties that they face, we're often reminded and we're taught ourselves, oh yeah, I see that person going through that struggle and I know exactly what they need, but I face the same thing too. And I need to trust the Lord in that same way and have that hope in God. And so not only are others blessed when we pray for them, but we are also encouraged and blessed and strengthened. And giving of thanks. And truly, we do have much to give thanks for. And these prayers to be made for all men, even for kings and for those that are in authority, those that are over us, those that have responsibility, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. I know I've said it before, we don't need to ask for any special treatment or to be exempt from our responsibilities. But we do want to be separate from the kingdoms of this earth. Because the kingdom of Jesus Christ is distinct. Its priorities and its order is completely upside down compared to what this world is built on, with its power and its forcing of influence, with its importance on being seen and seeing others. Jesus says, go in your closet. Make sure you're going into your closet and praying. Your Father, He sees in secret. He sees everything. Nothing is missed by Him. He knows the injustices. He knows the heartaches. And He can provide. And knowing God in that way, that's what we need to lead a quiet and peaceable life. So that we would not be disturbed. Though we go through the storms, though we go through hardship, though people want to knock us down and to make us trip up, though people speak evil of us, and I just want to serve God. I just want to be obedient to Him. Regardless of what people say or how they're going to judge or discourage, regardless of how much power or influence they may wield, I just want to do my part in God's kingdom and be persistent and consistent in that. That's a hedge. That's a hedge that the Lord provides for us to be fruitful within. And we are blessed with opportunities, and we are to be encouraged to make the best of those opportunities that the Lord gives us. He's provided us much. He's provided us a beautiful time that we can be together, families that we've grown close to, some that we know very well, some that we don't know quite as well. But God knows each one. And He knows what's good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior. He knows that when we put His priorities first and follow His lead, there's blessing and there's health and wholeness in that. So may we, according to Apostle Paul, and as he was inspired by the Holy Spirit, first of all, bow our head, pray to the Lord, ask of Him for all of our needs and for the needs of others. That will put us in a good position where we are humble in heart and recognize how we need God for everything. Then we find out His grace is sufficient. His grace is sufficient for all that we need. And it is His desire. We read in verse 4, God, our Savior, what does He want? What does He long for? What is His earnest desire and yearning? If He could share His heart with you and with me, what would He say? If He could stand here and speak a few words, what would those words end up summing up to be? He will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. He will have those that are in bondage to sin, that are enslaved to alcohol. He would have them to be pulled out. You know, those that turn in on themselves and get into their own head and listen to the voices that say, you are worthless and you are nothing. And you're not going to amount to anything, and nobody cares. How easy it is for us to feed those thoughts. He wants those who get onto those tracks and onto those cycles to listen to Jesus, to listen to His word, who wants all men to be saved and to be delivered from those cycles that just drag a man down to hell. Because those thoughts, those words, they make us look down. We look inward. We look at the flesh. We don't look up. We're not looking to God. When our thoughts are on ourselves and how much we failed, we need to ask God for deliverance. That's one of the needs that we need to pray for. And He will give us His answer. We kind of already know right? He's already told us. Do justice. Do justly. Love mercy. And walk humbly with thy God. And that brokenness that comes with humility, that may be just a fleeting moment where you recognize that, yes, that is what I need. To humble myself before God and feel the brokenness of my failure and have that contrite sorrow for what I've done. But that is a door. That is a door that is leading to salvation. That is leading to closeness with God. And God would have all men to find this. But many, many are walking on wide and easy paths that are leading to destruction. Few will go on those opportunities that God provides to be saved. But don't harden your heart. Don't harden your heart when God speaks the word. Follow through. Come to the knowledge of the truth, the knowledge of Jesus Christ, his great salvation. There is one God. There is one God, Apostle Paul says. Many would like there to be many. We'd like to have our choice. When it's convenient, I'd like this to be my first priority, my highest goal, and the object of my worship. But there is only one God, and there's only one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. And there is a fellowship. There's a fellowship that is waiting. A fellowship and a special time together with the Lord that we need to be reminded, myself first, to join in. And that is the fellowship of his sufferings. We wouldn't choose that on our own. But Christ Jesus, the Lamb of God, you know, the word in the Old Testament often describes God's people as sheep. And there are times that God sees that they're being abused and they're being mistreated. And the people that are over them are being harsh with them. And God sees it all. And God sent his only Son, Jesus Christ, to be a man, to live the life that we experience here below, to face those sufferings and those injustices head on and completely bear them, though he did not deserve it himself. He faced the hardship of life. He faced the cruelty of his peers. And he took upon himself all of the ugliness of sin. And life is filled, unfortunately, with the ugliness of sin and its consequences. And we face them day by day. And oftentimes we want to shield ourselves from this and make ourselves safe from pain. But Jesus is calling us, saying, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of the cross and of dying. There's salvation there. There's salvation to that place of humility that accepts God's will that runs to difficulty, that runs to pain, not because we desire to suffer or think that we are going to gain something out of it, but it is just a part of everybody's life. How will we face it? Will we run from it? Or will we endure? Jesus Christ is that example and that forerunner that has gone through all of those things. And when we suffer, when we have hardship, when we are persecuted or treated unfairly, we can rest assured that He knows exactly what we go through and so much more. And so there is a fellowship where we feel closer. When we go through hardship, when we feel pain. And then we know this one mediator between God and men, Jesus Christ. He came and He suffered that much for me and that much more for me. And that's how far His love goes. Even farther than all of the pain that I face? Yes. That is what Jesus Christ and His love means to us. That by His grace and with His help, we can endure all things. That He will sustain us. That He will bring us through. That we'll be victorious as we also surrender our life unto Him. So because of this, because of what God wants to communicate to us in Jesus Christ, He wants the men to be praying everywhere, to be a holy priesthood and a peculiar people, to know and to share with the world that we have a Father in heaven that cares for our needs and knows them and provides for them, and one that we can approach to, that we are not afraid of, but that one that we have peace with. We have peace with God, and we can come and we can pray. And we are a people that are leading spiritual lives without wrath and doubting. To be the people of God. And that women would also fulfill their role with good works, which cometh women professing godliness. So many things that the world could direct our hearts to focus on for men and women. But where does God want us to focus? Where does God want our priority? And this passage in 1 Timothy chapter 2 speaks of the first priority of prayer with a humble heart, acknowledging God for all of our needs. When we spend time in prayer, when we spend time with the Lord, we come before His holy throne. Oftentimes we add in our prayers and express the beauty of the worship that takes place in heaven and the angelic beings that are worshiping the Lord and the praises that the Lord hears. We, as it were, spend time setting our affections on things that are above and not on things on the earth. And then those first priorities, those main objectives, those things that we must have become more important, and the things that we can easily do without and that we would gladly give up for the Lord's sake, they really don't mean that much. And it's a joy. It becomes a joy to lay those things aside. And it becomes a joy to be filled with the love of God. And to be filled with a desire to serve and to help one another rather than to see and to be seen. May the Lord, in His mercy and His grace, teach us to hold Him first and foremost in each of our lives. And that all the fruits that come from that decision and that surrendered will would be to the honor and glory of God. Amen.